Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again we count it a great privilege being assembled together in this place in your name. We're grateful, Lord, that you have shown yourself not only in signs and wonders, but as the prophet said, you've allowed your photograph, your picture to be taken. Lord, we are not unaware of these things, but we are not aware of them as we ought to be. We are impressed by them, but we're not as pressed as we ought to be. So help us this morning, Lord, to be more sober and sincere, more impressed with thee in thy presence as never before. Lord, help us to be calm and collected within our spirits, bring all our thoughts into obedience and control of thy Holy Spirit. Teach us your word this morning in order to edify us, to build us up and get us ready, a people prepared, ready for that great day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, of course, we're still in Christ as a Mystery of God Revealed, and I believe we're about on number 18 this morning. And I'm going to be very honest with you. I really wish I had made about 30 pages of closely written notes and just read them, because we're going to get into some very difficult material at this particular time. However, last Wednesday, in that part of the message which we read, we saw Brother Branham point out that as Jehovah of the Old Testament was Jesus of the New Testament, making it evident that from Genesis to Revelation there is but one God, so that Jesus was far from being another God, but rather a magnification by revelation of that one God. Even so, there is but one Word of God, and what we find is that as Jesus brought a magnification of the revelation of God, so the New Testament brings us no new word, but a magnified revelation, an extended and more comprehensive revelation of that same word. So what we're saying here is we're well aware that there is one God, and there is one body of truth. And that one God is revealed from Genesis to Revelation, and that word is one word from Genesis to Revelation. But as there was merely one substantial thought that God was in the beginning, in other words, there was nothing outside of God that appears today, and it is the same God no matter how many ways he manifests himself or wish to show himself. There is also only one Word, and that Word, of course, even as God continuously brought himself into revelation, and one day, clearly, as never before, in the New Jerusalem, so this Word has progressively been revealed in its body of truth, so that we're more and more familiar with it. Now, so there is only one God with one Word. And I think Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, 14 and 15, linked with the thought in Revelation, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, as also in Isaiah, I am God and there is none beside me. He says here in verse 14, I know that whatsoever God doeth it, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. Showing you that there is a definitive body of truth that has been unveiling itself to us by the same God, or the same life of God, unveiling himself. So God and his word are one. And you can see this here very clearly. And this is exactly what we read in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, just a couple of verses there. Beginning at verse 4, it says, there is one body, there is one spirit, even as you are called in just one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism. There is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So you see the oneness then of God and his works and his word, but all magnified, all kept constantly before us in a constant flow of revelation. Now, thus we read how God magnified His Word on keeping the Sabbath, which was one day of rest per week. And He magnified it to a life of continued rest by the baptism with the Holy Ghost, where there isn't just one day set aside for God, but every day is sanctified of God by a sanctified people. Denominations will not accept a magnified word. What they want is a changed word. That's what they want. That's exactly why denominations form their little tenets and creeds and their little black books, and then they say, this is it, and they close the book. And they turn down new light. And when they turn down new light, of course, their light becomes darkness. So thus we read on page 60 and paragraph 4, and says, now you can see the end time message. Now the end time message, of course, is a magnified word, and it is a further revealed God through Christ, who is the Holy Spirit and the anointing, no matter what form that one takes and how he chooses to do it, which normally he has done it through the prophets. And then he literally switched course when he revealed himself in human flesh. Then he had to drop back to the prophets once more, which most people simply do not consider that to be true, which I don't understand, because of the Apostle Paul was not a prophet. Tell me, what in the world was he? I mean, you destroy the whole precept. I mean, you know, you don't deal with ignorance and folly. You simply walk around it. You've got to be like Wesley. One day he was walking down the street, and a bully confronted him, and he said, I don't step aside for fools. And Wesley said, I most certainly do. And he walked right around. So that's denominations and truth on a head-on collision on the road. All right. Now you can see the end-time message, why it's rejected. Can you? Now, no denomination but revelation of His mystery. See? No denomination but the revelation. God's not known by denomination. He's known by revelation. So therefore, categorically, no denomination is a part or has a part in the mystery of God, the revelation. No denomination. You can wipe your mind clean of it, and you say, well, I think, well, my wife belongs to this church, and my father is so-and-so, and my brothers and sisters, and they're wonderful people. Nobody says that they're not wonderful people. But if you're going to take sides with that against God's own way, I can tell you where you are today, you're lost. You're denominational. You're just the same. You're completely out. You say, you can say what you want, but if we believe a prophet, and how God does things, we've got to believe that. Now, of course, he's known by revelation. And who gives the revelation? Well, only God knows God, so therefore only God can tell about God. I've often said it's very, very simple. The Bible says no man knows the things of man, save the spirit of man that's in him, and therefore no man knows the things of God, save the spirit of God. And you know, horses knows horses, and dogs knows dogs, and cows knows cows, and people know people. But people really don't know cows. You really don't. You think you know a lot about them by study, but you don't have the instincts of a cow. If you did, you smell better, see better, feel better, and everything else. You don't have a spirit of a cow on you. You got a spirit of a man. That's why men can pick up women, and women pick up men, and men pick up men, and women pick up women. There's a spirit on it. Of course, that spirit goes a little bit beyond human spirit, goes into a repulsive spirit. All right? Who gives God's revelation but God Himself? Then to whom and how does the revelation come? It comes to the bride of Christ through a prophet who is dealing with Almighty God Himself, not face to face, except on three different occasions, Moses and Paul and William Branham. The rest are by visions. Bible says so. Numbers 12 says, whatever, if a man's a prophet, I'll give him a dream and a vision and speak to him therein, but my servant Moses is not so. With him I speak face to face and even in a form which is visible. Right? Moses, Paul, William Branham. You got a triunity there of it. Now, how can we be sure that this is God's revelation? By the way, God said His revelation would come forth. A prophet would come on the scene with thus saith the Lord. And that takes in all those prophets that deal with the word. Would be Moses and Isaiah and different ones. Even man like Samuel, who did not bring a word, but could interpret the word, he by discernment could let people know positively that he was of God. There is a way that God can be known, that it is God who is doing the speaking, no matter what form he is using or what he is doing. But people don't want it. See, denominations have got it closed. They've closed it off to say, you must come by us, and this is what it is. And that's not true. Now, anybody knows right today that the whole church system stands in folly because everybody turned down the Pentecostal tongue talkers. Now, everybody's got the Pentecostal tongue talkers. So now they've got to admit they were wrong. The hierarchies don't want to admit they're wrong, but they sort of skirt it because they don't want to lose the membership, because every member at 2 bits apiece or $200 apiece is a lot of moolah. And you don't want to see that go down the drain. See, that's exactly what you're looking at. That's why you're looking at a bad situation today. Now, look, God in his body, Christ, all right, which is the Messiah, okay, and Christ, now Holy Spirit, in his body, which is the bride. Now, he's telling you something here about this manifestation of God, the revelation coming on down. Okay, God, look, God in his body, in which he says is Christ, which is Messiah, virgin born. And Christ now, which remember is the anointing. The anointing took on a form of flesh. And remember, he dropped that form. We'll talk about that as time goes on. And Christ now in his body, which is no longer a physical one member, because he's returned from that to the pillar of fire. Do you understand what we're saying? A lot of people don't understand this. They think I'm preaching two gods or something. How ridiculous can you be? I can show you where Brother Branham absolutely said that the Logos had a conversation with God. I'll read it sometime. We'll go into the depth of that if God ever gives it to me. If he doesn't, I'm stuck. I can't tell you what I don't know. If a flame of fire doesn't reveal it, I can't tell you what the pillar of fire is saying. There's no way. I've got no way of knowing. I have to wait on the Lord. All right. Look, God in his body, which at that time was the Lord Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, and now the Christ as we know, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He is indwelling individuals by a portion of his life in those many individuals in a bride body. Oh my. God manifested in Christ. That's God living and showing himself perfectly as to who he is in a human being, which is Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. Now, Christ manifests in the bride. Christ living and being in a many-membered bride. But just watch that carefully. Because there's a dominant figure within the bride all the time. Seven church ages, seven messengers. And as God took from the body of Adam the woman, and she fell, then God has taken, or also then, God has taken, or in like manner, from the body of Christ, his flesh, his body, which is his word, and is bringing a bride out that won't fall by denominational creed. Now, Christ is not reproducing people sexually and physically. As Christ was that Word manifested in a human form, the Word now must take also human forms of a multi-membered body. And so what's he doing? As God took and fashioned the Word in the way he wanted it in one human being, he's taking that same Word and fashioning it now in many people, in a many-bodied member, which is the bride. So that it says over here, there's one body, but there's many members. And one, in talking of gifts, it says one hath a tongue, one hath an interpretation, one's got a prophecy, one's got this, and one got that. But let's look back and see some other things that there's one body and many members, and they're all doing different things. And it says here in 1 Corinthians, in Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. You make up one body. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on ministering, or he that teaches on teaching. Now, you've got gifts there and services, and you have fivefold ministries all mixed into one, showing that the dominant life of the entire bride is the life of Christ in many offices, many ministries. From the headship of the prophet right down through the fivefold and the other complementary ministries that complement that fivefold ministry, and also the lives which complement what every one of us has, and everyone's got to produce a life. There's got to be fruit, virtue, and so on there.
or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do with simplicity. Do you know that's an actual ministry of giving and exhorting? And he that ruleth with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. So you see, you have many, many things going on in this body where God is manifesting himself, even as he manifested in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, it was one faceted, all showing forth. This is many faceted concerning membership and the same life coming forth. Okay. And is bringing a bride out that won't fall by denominational creed. And you can tell that this is the bride of Christ because she's going to identify with the Word. She is a Word bride because she was thoroughly spoken forth in the Word of God, and she brought forth by that same Word. No, sir, but she's coming back to the pure, unadulterated Word of God being manifested. Okay? The Word of God being manifested. Okay, what is it? Is it the Word of God being manifested, or is it the Word and God being manifested? She brought back to the pure, unadulterated Word of God, God being manifested, one, proving that this is the Word of God that's manifested. You follow what I'm saying? There has got to be something here that's irrevocable and positive that you're putting your faith upon. That the bride is not upon creeds and dogmas, because there's something there that is beyond the creed and dogma. The words of a man will not produce anything but a creed and a dogma. But the Word of God will produce a manifestation that it is the life of God. The bride of herself does not do that. That's a higher order. That's where you get this. The prophet comes in there. See? Now remember, you say, well, just a minute, there weren't prophets all down through the ages. That is true. But there was a little trickle of life that God knew there'd be no prophet. He said, spare the oil and the wine, and don't you break it off. He himself said, the bruised reed, I will not break, the smoking flax, I will not quench. Until Shiloh come. Until the one of peace comes. Now, we can go into that in two facets. Remember, every scripture has at least a compound meaning. My God, I don't know why people throw away these truths. You tell them something and these are bluey. Right now you're the devil. Brother Branham made the statement, and I told you many a times. He said, Lee, you and I are just alike. I said, what do you mean, Brother Branham? He said, I got a little gift of healing, nobody wants it. You got a little gift of teaching, nobody wants it. I see more and more exactly what he meant. They did not want his gift of healing because it didn't come the way they wanted it. They wanted to hear him say, in the name of Jesus Christ, out. In the name of Jesus Christ, out. Every single time. They wanted him to. That was to the world. He took the gift of healing to the world. When it came back, the world was shut out. And he brought it to a bride. It was under discernment and under the care of Almighty God. Under a proper ministry within the church. And he was rebuked as a sideshow minstrel because he'd not done it. You can see exactly why they turned down the gift. The same they're going to turn. They turned down mine. They don't want it. They don't want me to point to Christ all the time. They don't want to believe the truth of his presence. They don't understand the appearing, and they don't want it. Well, I'm not alarmed about it. I just say, praise God for a fulfilled word. It may kill you, but just the same, that's just good to get killed. Yes, it's good to understand a little bit of death. It's not nice, with it for the time being. But she's coming back, the unadulterated word of God being manifest. God being manifested himself and proving manifestation according to this word. And that is what the bride is eating on and living on. And you turn down this for your mess of pottage. And you run around with your feelings hurt. And you run around with your ideas. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. If you can't stand up for this word and live with this word, I'm going to tell you right now, you are not going to make it. Amen. Now, if you're a bride, you will make it because you're going to stand with it. We'll get to that in just a minute. Now, I hope every man that hears this tape and every woman will understand that. See, she's the second Eve, but she's not breaking and spoiling her skirts of purity and holiness to her husband. She'll stay with this word regardless. Whatever squeeze might be, and he's going to talk about that. And what anybody says. Now, right now, we're in a great form of debate because we got a word and nobody can prove the word that's already proven. That's where the false prophets come in. They try to prove this word that's been proven as they got another proof. That's where your Frisbees and your Grants and all these men come. And I'm not afraid to mention names, Leroy Jenkins, because they stuck their neck out and you're in the public, it's in the paper. That they have now superseded Brother Branham and they are the ones. And you'd be surprised what people rise up with nothing at all except big mouths. And people fall for them. I know what I'm talking about because I get the letters and all those things shoved at me. It doesn't mean I read them all. I just take one little quick peek. That's it. You know. Now, you can have all the ecumenical moves you want to and all the affiliations. See? Now, and they're going to bring the persecution on pretty soon and shut up all the churches. You'll see that. Okay, let's just swing over here to page 79. Because we simply got to take our time on these things. Reading. Notice, in this last days, Lucifer is doing the same thing. Can you see it? Talking about denominations. The devil's doing the same thing, building up a hybrid church, a hybrid by hybrid members, hybrid by knowledge instead of the word, by intellectual man instead of born-again man, building an intellectual kingdom that will outshine Christ's little itty-bitty flock. What is it that did that? Fallen angels. The Bible said it was fallen angels who listened to Lucifer instead of Christ, who they once belonged to. Remember, they were Christ's angels, but they fell listening to Lucifer. Is that right? Now listen close. Fallen angels. What kind of angels? Luther, Wesley, Catholic, Pentecostals, who kept not their first estate like the angels did, and as fallen organizations like Lucifer's main hold at Nicaea. And what have they done? Organized a great ecumenical association of ministers to make an image unto the beast, as the Bible said, and building a Christian economy that'll close the doors of this church and others like it. See Lucifer at his work. And you know as well as I do, the United States government, contrary to the law, and our congressmen, they have defiled the Constitution. There's no Constitution left. The government has turned over the billions of dollars which they take in taxes and raise here and have now given it and said the Catholic Church, working with some nice little Protestants, of course, will now take care of the welfare, the benefits going around the world. Now, UNICEF was doing all this junk, and we know it was communist inspired. Now, it's funny how the United States pulled out of it finally, but they haven't pulled out of this other stuff. And they're not going to because they're stuck. The minute we elected a Roman Catholic president, we showed the world that we are pagan with the rest. How can we dare to send missionaries anywhere? Like Brother Branham said, and people sitting in the church, and I've known them, voted Democrat, and said they believe this message. If they'd have believed this message, they would have sat in their hands. Just better just let the world take the world. Just get out of politics. There's no place in politics. You can't mix this with, and you'll never mix this message with politics. Or denomination won't work. Now, see Lucifer at his work? I'm trying to bring you the threefold revelation, the mystery of God. What did they do? Sold out your reasonings of wisdom and education like Eve did. Fallen angels did. Okay? The churches like this who are not denominations, they'll use them for storehouses then. And if any man goes and offers a prayer for anybody else that doesn't belong to the ecumenical movement, will be shot on the spot. It's already in the works. So that Lutheran minister, the head of it, said so. And you may wonder, is that correct? That's absolutely correct. That was said way back before Kenny Goff died. And Kenny was the outstanding, you might say, middleman between communism and what was going on, because he had connections behind the Iron Curtain all over the world. And he knew things that, well, let's face it. Matthews went down from the New York, not the Journal, but the other one. And he went down into Cuba, and he came back, and he told the people in America, and sold the CIA, and sold Congress, that Mr. Castro was just a real nice fellow, and he was not just liberal, he was just a liberal person, but he was not communist, and everything would be fine if you let him go ahead and take over and kick Baptiste out, which they didn't. Kenny Goff had said, the man is nothing in the middle, an illegitimate son of 11 different children by the man Castro, and they're all communists. He named every single one and told the liaison, and why did he know, and the CIA didn't know, and America didn't know? Come on, you got a bunch of crooks and liars in there? As phony as $3 bills led by the servants of hell. What was Dulles doing in there? Big Roman Catholic, the whole bunch of them. Just look around. You just don't let it bother you. That's all you can know what's going on. But the whole thing stinks. The whole thing is a mess. See? And that time, at that particular time, Kenny Goff was well in touch with the articles of the ecumenical move that said, all right, if you give aid and comfort in a time of exigency of any kind, and you're not ordained to do so by that council of churches as a minister, they'll shoot you. Hallelujah for Jesus. Isn't that nice? Right back to doing God a service by killing. You think that's not going on? It's been going on, as Brother Branham said. It's just, it's been under the cover, just waiting for the cover to be taken off. You can let your lives go by and sleep if you want, all you want, just for to be dopey concerning these things. But I'm telling you, they're right there. That's why Brother Branham said, 100 years from now, 25, 10, maybe yet tomorrow morning. You know why? Because this thing is not solemn in people's hearts. One day I got to preach on some of these things. This is one reason why I would to God I had more pastoral substance in me. Because I see all the needs, but I've got ministry out around the people. Don't even look at, they don't even know why the prophet was here and what's going on. By the time there should be men living lives, they're so mixed up as pitiful. They don't know where responsibility goes, what's real, what's dedicated, and what's pure sentimental hogwash. See, you read it right here in your magazine. It's true, you could read it. It's right. Doesn't make any difference what they say. That church will stand true in this light. What light is? What is the light? What Christ is and what he is doing this hour. And what he is shedding forth by revelation of his word. She's already proved it back yonder. That's the time when Christ was the light and the church is the cornerstone. That's when he came as the mighty baptizer with the Holy Ghost to get a bride, a people, so he could send a messenger to them. So he came down the mighty pillar of fire and began moving them over the people, and he gave of himself a little tiny infinitesimal bit like the sperm of a male. Baptized him into a body. Then that same pillar of fire did not come to Peter, did not come to John, did not come to Matthew, did not come to any 12 apostles of the original 12, the 11 standing. He came to the apostle Paul. And there he brought the word as the cornerstone. Now the same pillar of fire is here as capstone, bringing that same word, revealing it. They had a virgin church then. They've got a virgin church now. But as that church fell, went to the ground, example of Lord Jesus Christ, this church today will not do it. She's already proved it back yonder, and she'll do it again in the face of everything. Remember that first early church that Paul had under his control, the Ephesian age? That John later pastored? Well, he said there's a bunch of people came by, and he said, you told them what they were, false apostles. They didn't. Oh, he said, that sure went over like a lead balloon. How did you know they're false apostles? They weren't saying what Paul said. See? Not Peter, not James, not John, that's fine. But not saying what Paul said. Paul said, my gospel. We'll read that later on, in Romans 16, if we ever get there. Now, she's already proved it back yonder. She'll do it again in the face of everything. It's the word of God. She'll do it in the face of people rising up against her, of the false prophets, of unjust criticism, and pressure. See? And all ecumenical movements and everything else will be gone. She's going to be there without spot or wrinkle. Right. She'll stand there. In other words, she'll stand there alive and waiting for the resurrection and be a part of it. See? Now, we go to 1 John, the 5th chapter, a little bit, because we're very much in love with this portion of Scripture. And we look at the verses 5 to 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We've got the pure, revealed, unadulterated word of God. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, apart from the word of this hour, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light. In other words, if this is our light, if this is our light, live or die, sink or swim, this is it. It says here, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanses. Now everybody, as I say, fuss. I got a letter the other day, a lovely moment. Is the blood off the mercy seat? Has the blood gone to the word? Where is the blood? Where is the blood? It tells you here, no matter where that blood is, if you have this light, it avails. So quit your horsing around. And your conjectures, which are foolish, keeping you back from further revealed truth and depths of things in Almighty God. Remember this, my brother, sister. Let me get to it this morning. And I'm not pleading for myself. I'm pleading for this word here. Let us understand why we preach the way we preach. Over here in the first chapter, it's for the end time, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, are you listening? The Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is a personal knowledge that you are receiving at the end time. There is one God. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of the Father and the Son is the same name. I came in my Father's name. So let's not be abusing our imaginations or our thinking. Now, the revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. You are not getting the preeminence anymore. You are not having any say anymore. You are not in the revelation anymore. God is all of it. Receiving the preeminence. Because we're back to headship. As Brother Branham said, headship has come. What's to stop it from coming? Everything that was poured into him from God was poured into the bride that the bride's supposed to have. Now it's over. Because this is the end time revelation. That which in part is finished, we've got the whole of it. In the days the voice of seven church age messenger, and he'll begin to sound the mystery of God. As he had declared the good news unto his prophets shall be finished. Which means it's going to run out. Which means it's perfected. What is it? It's that mighty one that came down, opened the seals. What were the seals? Christ revealed. See? People should understand a few things by now. All right. So therefore, God backs his word. And of course, at this time, the word is the bride. She's the manifestation. Notice, God manifested himself in his body, Christ. That's the Messiah. That was in flesh 2,000 years ago. Now you see the threefold beautiful thing. Christ in his body, the church. That's now. Been for 2,000 years. But watch what today. Vindicating his promised word like God did through Christ. He never did it until this hour. Now, he vindicated Paul, but he didn't do it. Paul never had the return ministry of Christ. Everybody says, Brother Branham's got to come back on a return ministry. That's fine. Say what you want to say. But Daddy Bosworth pulled my coattail in 1953, and he said, see, Brother Vale, I've prayed for the ministry of Christ to return to this earth for 40 years, and there it is in that man. We've already had the return ministry of Christ. Amen. If Brother Branham's going to have return ministry, I don't understand it, know about it. I know he's going to come back, and if he parallels the ministry of Christ, then it will be exactly as Christ did, reveal the things of the kingdom of God. But why stick your neck out? We learn after the fact. We knew the shout after the fact. We'll know the resurrection after the fact. We'll know our change after the fact. We'll know the catching up after the fact. We'll know the wedding supper after the fact. Because God interprets His word by manifesting it. Amen. Then it takes someone to explain it. So you learn after the fact. Then don't stick your nose into something you don't know about. Wait till you get the fact. And as simple as ABC, the prophet taught it. I got to get up here all steamed up, yelling and screaming and waving, thinking I'm getting emphatic. Fap, it's no more going in your head or your heart than pig's tails are, unless you're elect anyways. What am I wasting my breath for? Especially my energy. I've been pretty low. I could use something else, like eating ice cream and pie, which I'm for. Trying to relax you a little bit. Amen. The message is to the elect. Amen. Yeah. If you're going to fuss and fool with a lot of things instead of getting down business with Almighty God, because your husband, your wife, or your kids, or this or that, pull you away, you ain't got too much. Right. I remember my wife's dad. He backslid on the count of the kids. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be honest with you. I'll see my kids in hell by the grace of God before I backslide. I'm not saying that boastfully. I'm saying, my God, have pity on me that anybody should ever get in my my wife, my mother, my father, my children, you or anybody else. I learned my lesson years ago on that. People got in my way. Don't fuss, brother, sister. Don't you be so foolish. It's all over and you don't even know it. So suddenly, it's just like suddenly a woman in travail. All the time you're hearing women don't even know they're pregnant because they're so big and fat and suddenly they got a baby. Doctors didn't even know it. That's a sign of the times. They're so anesthetized by the things of this world they can't even tell they're pregnant or anything else. There's a sign going on. Not so terrible, but there's enough of them. All right. God manifests himself in his body, Christ. Now you see the beautiful thing, Christ in his body. The church vindicating his promised word like God did through Christ. Who can condemn me of sin? Now he's drawing an example here of what happened in the days of Jesus Christ, looking forward to this hour. Who can condemn me of sin? If I do not the works of the Father, then where have I failed? Now you fellows say that you are doing it. Sadducees? Pharisees, Essenes, and scribes, and so on. You denominations. Now show me. Show me where I failed to be the Messiah. Show where I failed in one sign that God said the Messiah would do that I haven't fulfilled that he said. Jesus said, search the scriptures, and in them, which you think you see eternal life, you will find me. And Moses spoke of me. Now he said, I am in there, and I've done it all. You see? Now who could refute that great prophet? Because he was his own prophet. Then who can refute that prophet today if he comes on the scene? Because the man is nothing. It is God in the man. Remember, that's exactly what the Bible says. Now let's read it. So let's just take a look at the scripture, and we want to read it over here in Hebrews, the first chapter, and it says, God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers, in the prophets. I hope you get me in my what I'm emphasis. I emphasize the prophets, and they're not worth a nickel alongside of God. It's God in the prophets. God in Christ. You got a bunch today that want to throw the prophets so hard and so wide they make Christ out of the picture entirely. That's where you get your deity cult from. That's where you get people continually looking back all the time. They don't believe Brother Branham said the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Jesus does all three in descending, and the shout is a message. I want to ask you a question. Did Brother Branham, did he not say, I was not the one that appeared down there. I was only one standing there when he appeared. I want to ask you who came down. I want to ask you who makes the prophet. God makes the prophet. Every one of those prophets died, my brother, sister. Even Jesus died. But God doesn't die. God was in Christ. Reconciling the world unto himself. God in the prophets. That same modicum of God in you and me, if so perchance that little bit of life lives there, to recognize that God every single time. Isn't it strange? The scripture said, the ass knoweth his master's crib, but my people do not know me. The birds of the air know their paths, but they don't know my paths. They don't know my ways. The foxes have holes. The birds have nests. But the Son of Man has got no home. What house will you build me? Not all my hands made this. He said, you stiff-necked and hard of heart, you always resist the Holy Ghost. The people resisted God, resist God every single time and every turn in their lives, the lives of prophets, and everything that God ever wants to do. And it's always claimed on God. Ain't he nice? God, ain't he nice? God! It's not some little mockingbird song, some little sparrow, some little robin. It's the eagle screaming. It's the lion roaring. The suffering calf, brother, sister, that day, that Jesus was just that momentarily. We're the suffering calves. He was a face of man. He could match any man down at any time. When he said, I am, they fell backwards. You and I have that face too, but it won't get us there. What gets us there is a lion and the eagle. And they're definitely one. God manifested in the two highest forms of animal and bird life, which we barely type. We don't type at all, really. We're just thrown in there because God loves us. Show me where I fail. Now Christ said, the works that I do shall you do also. See, the same God. We're back to Ecclesiastes again. What he does forever. You can't change him or his works. See, the same God. The works that I do, you do also. More than this, for I go to my Father. The church will be a little longer in light. See, vindicating his promise word as God did his promises in the body of Christ, so is Christ doing his same works in Christ's body, the church. That's exactly right. He's doing it in there because Brother Branham was in the same body you and I are in, but you and I don't do it. Let's go back to Romans and see it. Let's watch it again. For as we have many members, that's verse 4 in Romans 12, in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Everyone members one of another. So I am a part of William Branham. William Branham is a part of me. You are a part of William Branham, and he is a part of you, because every single one has the same Holy Spirit making one body. And so, therefore, let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. If the verse 14, for the body is not one man, is not many members, but is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So he's trying to tell you what it is. And the body is made up of all the ministries, everything. It's cohesive. It's coherent. It has one life. It has one mind. And if God chooses to make one the super eye, so the body is full of life, that's exactly like, that's exactly what God wants. And the foot stands back and tries to carry the ball. And the hand stands around and tries to carry the ball. And always you're going to find the same thing. You get a fivefold ministry someplace where God's working. Someone's going to rise up and try to carry the ball. Someone's always, they're not going to run interference. They're going to try to interfere with you. Now, come on. Look, I'm talking sense. I'm talking the truth. And you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you might as well go home now. I'm wasting my time. Well, stick around. We'll send the tape out. I don't want to be sarcastic, but I want to get the thing across to you, brother, sister. He says you're vindicating his promise word. As God did his promises in Christ's body, so is Christ doing the same words in his body, the church. See, now, making his mystery known to his bride tree here in the last day, bringing forth the fruits that were in the tree at the beginning. Now, you notice that Brother Branham has switched from the word bride and body, the body, to bride tree. There's a reason for it. We'll see more of this as we go along. But just remember, he's putting a word in there. Now, he says, as it was in the beginning. Now, this is John 14 and 12, so we'll go and read it. That's what he's been reading and been giving us all along. And let's take a look at this thing here. And remember, this has to do with identification, which Brother Branham skips. He doesn't use this too much, but he does use it sometime. Now, in verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Now, Jesus said that. That's what Jesus said to those people that were in the know. That ate with him, that slept with him, that fished with him, that went around with him, and talked with him, and rode the boat with him, trod the path with him, got aside with him. You know what I'm driving at? You don't get to know him except by revelation. You don't know him after the flesh. You can't know him. Now, they should have known better. And henceforth you have seen him. That's from now on. From this point on, you know that this is the Father revealed. God manifest in human flesh was Christ Messiah. One person. And Philip said, hey, pull him out of a bag. You can do anything. What you want to do? Get him out in front. Philip took this as, hey, isn't this great? This guy can do anything. We've always wanted to know that tricky thing. The mystery of that one there we call God Jehovah. Now, how will he do it? Will he pull him out of a gunny sack? Well, come on. Will he make him materialize? What's he got to see? Now, if you think I'm just kidding you, you just look at this the way it's written. And you start thinking. What else could it mean? He wanted a production. Right? Produce God. Put your money where your mouth is. Old, good old, you know, Missouri. Good old Missouri mule. Seeing is believing. Lord, show us the Father. Notice he calls him Lord. Big respect here. Great respect. He knew Christ could do a lot of things. Absolutely. Come on, come on. Show us the Father. That'll take care of everything. Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? Who's talking? Jesus. Who's Jesus? The Father. Now, Jesus is not his own Father. He's not his own Father. Let's get reading. Don't be Jesus' only people. He's God's his own Father. Come on. That's paganism. Amen. That's right from the Trinity doctrine of paganism, where the baby's sitting on the mother's knee, she's got a halo, and he's got a halo, and it says the child is the father, is the husband. The child is the husband of the mother. Read Hyslop's Two Babylons. He that has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? In the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. And that one that says it, is the one that does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now that's the scenario. This is the prophecy of the repeat scenario. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these, greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Singular. That's the prophecy. Then how are you going to know who he is? Because he's going to do the very works that the Father did in him, that being the same Spirit. You understand? That's the way it is. Now making his mystery known to his bride tree, here in the last days, bringing forth the fruits that were in the tree at the beginning. Just think, the same pillar of fire that brought the word. That's the same one that Paul said, who are you? And he said, I am Jesus. That same one that brought the revelation is today bringing the same revelation into manifestation and clarification through revelation and proving that it is the same one by the same works. Because that's exactly what Peter said. The one that you killed and crucified, God has raised, and it made him both Lord and Christ, and shed forth this which you now see and hear, and that was the Holy Ghost, and it was the Holy Ghost that did the works. But remember, when you're talking about works, there are specific and sporadic. Mark 16 is sporadic. John 14 and 12 is specific. Because this only one will do. Mark 16, anybody can do. False anointing in the whole crew. If you don't believe it, you check the prophet. There again we see Alpha and Omega. We see the cornerstone becoming the headstone. Because as the cornerstone, he was with Paul, vindicating himself. But now remember, this is the coming back, prefacing the capstone in flesh, which that did not do at that time. That was merely setting a bride up, as we showed you in the pyramid. Now it's coming back for the pyramid. Now remember, the cornerstone is the same material as the headstone. And so is the whole bride the same material. See? Watch. Now you're going to talk about the tree a little more. Watch, the tree put forth a branch, a Lutheran. What did it do? That's that Lutheran branch. When the tree started coming up, here came the fruit coming up with it. What happened? They denominated. So the pruner came by, the father or the husband. That's going back to, what is that, the 13th chapter of John and the vine? It's not 15, I don't think, is it? Where is it? No, I guess it's 15, maybe. Oh, yeah, 15th chapter, the vine. Yeah. So the pruner that came by the husband and the father and cut it off, saying it's dead. Up came the Wesleyans. It did fine coming up. What did it do? The fruit went right back into the tree again, so he cut off the branch dead. What the fruit there really is life. The fruit itself does not go back into the branch. It is the life that takes the fruit back with it. So when he's saying that what it was manifested for that hour as the word of truth, it just drew back. It was gone. And watch the life come out and put out another little branch there. Show me one church. Now, this was Reformation leading up to Restoration. Show me one church I want to know. I've got 33 years of church history. Whatever that means, I haven't got a clue. He might have said, I've been studying church history for 33 years. I don't know. Show me one time, one place where any church ever organized that didn't die on the spot. True. Show me one place he ever rose again outside of numbers and things. Not a real revival. See, it's not there. Not till she's all gone. In other words, denominations are finished. So what did their husbandmen do? Came by and pruned it. See? It brought forth denominational fruit. Lemons on an orange tree. It should have brought forth oranges. Because it was living off the life. In him we live and move and have our being. The same water, the same sun, the waters the wheat is watering the tares. There could not be a false church except for a true church. And they're drawing on the same mercy, the same grace of Almighty God. They're drawing on the same revelation, but the revelation is now perverted. So he pruned it off. Brought it forth, kept up. But where is the heart of the tree? Right in the middle. And he's pruned them all down till it got right in the top. He's got a seed down here in the root. Like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, he takes God's laws and love in his heart, and he should be like a tree, Psalm 1, planted by the rivers of waters, his leaves shall not wither, and his season bears fruit. And here it is right here. That means now at this time. And where does the fruit ripen at quickly? That's why he's talking about a tree. Because it's fruit. And we are what? First fruits. Of course, first fruits can be part of your wheat crop, can be part of your oats, part of your barley, part of a lot of things. But we're talking about tree. Why? Because there was a tree in the Garden of Eden. So we're talking about trees. You follow me? Jesus went from bushes to trees, from animals to bushes to trees. You get like a mixed metaphor. See, different ways of bringing it out. Just like he goes from chaff to wheat, chaff to a tare. Talk about tares, talks about chaff. See, you just got to watch what the metaphor is at that particular time. At the top of the tree. At the top of the tree is the final growth. That's our final growth. The one that's reaching closest to heaven. Right. Getting closer to the dimension. That's the last age bride. Amen. Why does the fruit ripen quickly at the top? The light is on it. Amen. That's right. And we're right in the top of the tree in this last days. I like the way he says this last days. It should be these last days, but it's this last days, showing a period of time in the day when the Son of Man is revealed, is a period of time. Amen. And we are in the time of the day of the Lord, but that time of the great penalty and the judgment is put to one side. Just like at the day of the Lord in Jesus Christ. He could have done two things, but he did one, which is bring justice and bring redemption. Later on, coming back, he's going to do the other, which is set in motion now, which is a judgment. Let's watch this. Why? The light's on it, amen, that's right, in the top of the tree in this last days, under the seventh seal, he's bringing forth a bride tree. Now, this is what the tree was planted for, to get to this place, to redeem the entire tree. They without us cannot be made perfect. And we're coming to the place where the evening light will bring forth immortality, which they couldn't get, of the tree in the garden that did bring immortality, because God stopped it. Now, harvest light, that's the light we're in. Now, remember, the light that rises in the east, the sun, or the light, is the same that's in the west. The light that's harvest, the harvest light that your crops, now they're really, the light's almost over as far as the crops are concerned here, because they're ripe. It's the same light, but remember, it's the angle at which the sun is set and the earth turns that makes the difference between the first light and the last light, or the spring light and the harvest light, or the growing light and the harvest light. Now, as the earth has gone on, it's progressed, and God has revealed himself to this time. The end time light is going to bring forth a crop which it could not bring forth before, because the bride was not placed and God was not placed in their proper relationship. Now, are you all ears? Then somebody that understands my preaching, please tell me what chapter I covered that in. Are you all sitting there stuck? You shouldn't be by now, not one of you men. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, setting the church in order spiritually. Beginning at the presence. That's what he's come down to do. We are now in relationship. And that light, and you will notice, will bring forth weeds as it has never brought forth weeds at any other time of the year. Because the conditions are perfect for it. And the dandelion that wanted to grow this high to bring forth fruit, you'll see a little squiggly bud down here, bringing forth in his ripening. And the sunflowers, we got them in our backyard. They matured all year long because the birds kicked them out of the feeder. One came from last year, nice, right away it matured. Now we got some like this. And they're maturing right now. Wouldn't do that any other time of year. There's a fantastic growth, ecumenical move, amongst the tares. And there's a fantastic dying out of the chaff. There's a fantastic drying out of the bride. When the harvest light shines and the former rain falls at the time of the latter rain. And I've said many a time, I've looked out my window, I don't know the first thing about agronomy, but I know this one thing, I looked out my window and I can see the golden grain around me, and it's not golden at all. But right toward the time when that grain is supposed to be ripening, and a rain comes, right after that rain, that wheat begins to ripen as it never did before. You can see it, a beautiful gold, and it's plump and beautiful. God's got everything in His season, and there's a season now here. All right. The time of harvest, light, is life and death. Right. So the harvest sun brings life and it brings death. The life goes into the seed for the next time round, and there isn't any next time round. And remember, the last plague of Egypt was death, and this plague is spiritual death. I will kill her children with death. Spiritual death. Which means the lake of fire, neither root nor branch, after the Elijah ministry's over, and the last foolish virgin is killed off. I believe that's the way it will be, because they come up in the second, the white throne judgment. There won't be any of them. Why? Because they're nothing but tares. Now, I'm going to read pretty pitiful. I want to read right through to page 64 here before I start talking. You know, I don't think I want to go into this because we have a half an hour left and there is no way I'm going to do anything more than just read. So I'm going to do something I usually don't do. You can either quit now, 1 hour, or I'll give you an opportunity to ask some questions on what I've already said. Last Wednesday, I didn't bring out as clearly as I wanted to how the first coming, how John the Baptist, number 3 Elijah, and number 4 also was in Isaiah 40. I'll go into that another time. Let me clear that up so you get a little better understanding. But I've always, every now and then I make statements and perhaps they don't come through too clear. And I did put you on the spot this morning. I said, by now you should know what chapter I'm talking to, and I'm not going to take that back because you should. You should know, if you're following at all, that there is a church order far beyond the little room with gifts put in order. You should know true ministries. You should understand where the Word is. You should know what God is doing. Because Brother Branham said when that bride is placed, when she knows where what her place is, when she knows who she is, he said it would only take 10 people thinking those same thoughts. And I don't care where those 10 people are. They'll be in one place, not in one room maybe, but they'll be in one bride. And he said then she'll be gone. I put great stock on what the prophet taught. I do not put great stock upon conduct. We have always had conduct. And even the Bible says, those ignorant, except they know there is a God, know there is a conduct. And Brother Branham said, the heathen puts us all to shame by their conduct. He told about the Shungite people in Africa and so on. And I'm not going to worry about fruit. I'm not going to worry about virtue. Anybody knows that's there, or you haven't got it in the first place. You're worse than a heathen. And I'm not going to talk about gifts for the simple reason they're only complementary to ministries. And you can see a lot of false people, they're exercising gifts and they haven't got the least clue what's going on and they don't want to know either and they cover up with a gift. I'm talking about a revelation of Him who is that Word. And that came by Him showing Himself and proving who He was, which was the interpretation of Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, or 17 in particular and 18. Then when the prophet came and explained it, we accepted it and knew it after the fact. That's why everything we're teaching now is after the fact and does not project to the future except to the extent that after the fact determines the future. Now what is that future? The future is immortality with the resurrection and caught up. Everything that after the fact is the show. And Brother Branham, being a historian like Moses, could go right back. Take the first 5 books of the Bible. Take Genesis in particular. And lead right up to Exodus. And put the whole thing right out there in a form. And everything is in those first 5 books. And now at the end time comes. And we haven't hit the 7th seal yet. In Genesis. But we're going to hit it in here. And that's exactly why I don't want to move on. So now I've given you an opportunity. Anybody got any questions? I hope I haven't scared you. I'm not as mean as I sound, you know. Little dogs always bark big. It's only a defense they got. All right. What's your question?
Does Isaiah 40 just pertain to Brother
Branham? No, it pertains to two. But I'll check it out. I'll show you. Like Brother Branham always does this. He took in Revelation, and he showed the judge, and he projected him right on down through to the white throne. And when you get into any portion of Scripture, you're always going to find the compound meaning and the constant projection, because you don't cut a thing off. It projects and goes down. Jesus was projected to what he was in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. And we'll just take a look at it here. Let's go back to Isaiah 61. Do you know what we're saying? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison of them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now he projected all the way down to this day, and plumb to Mount Zion, in this scripture here. Because it says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. That's the bride. Zion is always bride. To give unto them the beauty for ashes and all the joy for mourning. He's projected plumb down there, but he cut off here. And always you'll find in Scripture the projection and the cutting off. Until there's a fulfillment. And you can find the Elijahs in Isaiah 40, in my understanding, and also in Malachi 3 and in Malachi 4. They're coming suddenly to his temple, where Brother Branham said the 12-year-old boy appeared, is the same thing who appeared down in the river. To the sudden appearing. There's your mystery. So there's something in there. If I'd had my notes made clear that Wednesday night, I wouldn't have been so unclear on it, so I'm unclear on it. Anything else? Okay, we'll make this a short one this morning, so the Lord bless you. And this is phenomenal within itself. But there's no way I can go beyond what I'm doing, because just one paragraph here would take too long. So let's rise at this time to be dismissed. Appreciate you all coming. The Lord love you. Take good care of you. Keep praying. Keep sincere. Remember, we're moving on, brother, sister. You may not realize that, but there's a growth. There is a growth. You look at nature. And you look at yourself and you say, well, I'm apart from nature. You are entirely wrong. You are 100% with nature. Because every illustration is there. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the time we've had together with you this morning, Lord, trusting that things are clearer than ever before. And you, Lord, are more the central, preeminent one in our thinking and our lives. And Lord, I know you're bringing us there in spite of ourselves. We know that. If it depended upon us, we'd never get it done. This lukewarm age, Father, pulls here and pulls there. And it just looks like somebody got a hold of a knitted sweater and the person started walking, and pretty soon there's no sweater. Everything's just all undone. But Lord, you could take that same old wool like the potter took the clay and just bring forth a new pot unto your honor and for your glory. And you can take, Lord God, this word that's been so mutilated, like that old violin battered and encrusted and worn, and get the hand of the master violinist taken and bring forth the beauty of that word, Lord. Getting rid of all men's creeds and dogmas, all misunderstandings and all wrong understandings, all these things, Lord, until that word comes forth in its pure beauty and its glory. Father, I just pray for every single one here. Lord, there's not one of us that knows within ourselves that we absolutely are a bride because we can prove anything. But Lord, we know within ourselves by the fact we have received this word and do receive and hunger and long for it and long for the revelation and for the correction and long for especially for the life that's got to come out of this word, O God. The conduit, Lord. You gave a conduit for your word. And Lord, you gave a conduit to your word. And Father, we've got to be that conduit. That vessel, Lord, before prepared unto glory. Somebody's got to be. And by grace, we believe that every single person here, if he has your representation, as the prophet said, there isn't one of us going to miss it. Father, help us all to have that representation in Jesus Christ, our Lord, by being filled with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we know that we can know. So help us, Lord. Help every single one. Heal the sick among us, O God. Spur us on. Help us. Lead, guide, and direct us. Bring us back safely again into your presence, O God, into a time of blessing and fellowship as never before. Pray for those, Lord, who aren't here, couldn't be here this morning for various reasons. But Lord, you know all about it. You know those reasons, whether they're pertinent or impertinent. And we know, Lord, that's true.
But you know all about it. Just pray, Lord, that each one of us shall very humbly seek your face as never before. Help me especially, Lord, because there's so many things that burden at this time, so many things to come across, oh God, till it's almost would that we had 1,000 tongues to say 1,000 different things at one time for 1,000 different people as it were, oh Lord, because there's so much, oh God, so much, so much, so much, and yet and people need so much. So help your people, Lord, I pray. Help them, oh God, because they need help. They're sheep, and they're tender-hearted. They love you. Lord, we know we love each other. We're trying to walk in the light, having fellowship with that blood cleansing. Lord God, be merciful to us in such a way, Lord, that we recognize your mercy as never before and believe you as never before, just walking in that light. So, Father, we commend ourselves to you in the holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll take the name of Jesus.